Hey, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. I feel the need to say this. I'm not a spitter. I feel like the reason I need to say this is there's like two empty rows right here. And I feel like that's like the good spit zone. And so I just want, if you're new here and you don't know, you're like, you just met me, you're wondering, is he a spitter? Is he not a spitter? I'm not a spitter. I am categorically not. So that's where that is. That's some of these are important things you need to know about someone that's teaching. If we haven't met before, my name is Jim Pace. I'm one of the pastors here at our church, New Life Christian Fellowship. We have two congregations that are part of one church. We have NLCF, which is this, and then we also meet at 11 o'clock, usually in Squires Colonial Hall, this morning in Old Dominion. The room where everything went wrong this morning. So then we also have a community congregation that meets in this space at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. So if you're new, hey, glad you're here. Glad you're here. All right. I just drew a blank after glad you're here. So repeat and move on. They'll never know what's going on. I just want to let you know, give you an update. For those of you that are familiar with the 209 Manna Ministry, that's the on-campus food pantry for, or it's just off-campus, for undergrad, grad students at Tech. More and more students are, because of the increasing costs of school and meal plans and all this, they are just not having enough to eat. And we're running across more and more stories as we get involved with it more. There's a girl who, her food was, at the beginning of the week, she would buy a jar of peanut butter, and that was her food until the end of the week. And so we're seeing more and more people like that. And we got involved. It was started by this girl, Kelly Berry, who's a student at Tech, and she's with the Wesley Foundation. And so it started out of their building. It's still in their building. And she was able to get it going, organize. It was amazing what she was able to do, but it was only able to be open one night a week. One afternoon a week from 4 to 6:30 on Thursdays. And so we heard about it and we thought, well, we can help. We got some people. And so we started just to help them to get another couple of days open, which we've done. It's now open Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and we're looking at even maybe potentially extending some hours in the fall. And they have since asked us to be a full partner, which is very cool. We've handed out hundreds of flyers. Their brochures are spread out much more widely than they were able to before. You guys that have been involved and you guys that have been praying for it, we are so grateful for this. In every way, their numbers are up. They're helping more people. People are accessing more food. It's really a great thing. So that's just very, very cool to see that. We're going to need to have that continue, though. And not tomorrow, but next Monday when we have VT1. For those of you that aren't familiar with that, it's when a lot of ministries on campus get together and there's a worship night. It's very cool. At VT1, what we're doing is they're partnering with the 209 Manna Ministry, which is the food pantry name. And so if you could bring in like a snack food item or a box of snack food items or just any food other than, please, canned vegetables, we're good. We are good through the apocalypse and probably at least 6 months after the apocalypse. I think so. It's the, when it comes to canned vegetables, apocalypse plus 6 months, canned fruit, snacks, anything else. We're not gonna make the apocalypse, guys. We're just not gonna do it. It's just not gonna happen. So please go ahead, and if you can, when you come to that, bring some. We could use all the help we could get. Thank you. That's all I got. All right. I mean, that's not all I've got. That's all I've got on that. It's just starting. Let's pray. It's starting so well, Lord. God, I just pray, Father, that you would speak. Holy Spirit, that whatever you want to say, in whatever way you want to say it, that you would be free to do that. I just pray, God, for you to move tonight. That's it. Just speak to us and give us the wisdom to hear your voice, please. Amen. We've been going through this 1 Corinthians series the entire year, right? We have been in this one section of chapter 11 through the end of chapter 14, which we're finally finishing tonight. This section has taken us a long time, and the main reason is we've had spring break in there. We have had Easter. We focused on Easter for a few weeks. And so we're finally closing it out. In this section of 1 Corinthians 11 through 14, Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and he's talking to them about the way that they're supposed to be when they're gathered in groups like this. All right? When the church, and remember, whenever Paul refers to the church, the Greek word that we get church from is ekklesia, and it doesn't mean the building. He's not referring to the church being kind of the construction that we happen to be in. He's talking about us, the people, the called out ones, the people that have said that we want to follow Jesus, and we need to be forgiven. We need to be adopted and brought back into his family. That offer that's open for everybody on the planet, that God wants everybody on the planet to take advantage of. And he's talking to those people that have, when he's referring to the church, he's talking to the people that have done that. And what he's saying is, when we gather together, there's certain ways that we need to be. All right, and we're going to finish out that section tonight. I want to take a couple of minutes, and I just want to kind of say, well, I'm the pastor, and I feel like God put something on my heart. I want to say it based on a chapter that we dealt with a couple weeks ago. It's 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love chapter. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not proud. It doesn't boast. Told at weddings all the time. You know, it's this section that the told at weddings, that's not in there, but it probably should be. You know, it's a section that tells us how we are to demonstrate love to people. And as followers of Jesus, we aren't, he doesn't say, I want you to love people as long as whatever. They do the right things. They are loving towards you. They are fair towards you. He said, I want you to love people. I mean, Jesus told several parables that the intent of the parable was to say that we need to take our forgiveness of other people as seriously as we take his forgiveness of us. That if we say, God, thank you for forgiving us. We just came through Easter, and thank you for taking all of our sin on yourself and trading us so that we could give you our sinfulness and we could take on your righteousness. All of that stuff, we're so grateful. That we can't just say, well, but they irritate me, or they're wrong, or they're whatever, so I don't have to be loving towards them. You just think, that's just not an option if you're a follower of Christ. You got to do it. And he says, I will give you the Spirit that will be in you, that will equip you, that will give you the ability to do it. It's just not easy to do. And so 1 Corinthians 13 talks to us about how we do that. And another one goes down. That's all right. We're entering into a season where we are going to need to know how to love one another well. All right, the 2016 election cycle is on. Hillary's in. She announced it today. You know, and the Republican field is filling out. You know, there are issues of immigration or water rights in California and how that all works out. We have legalization of marijuana. We have RFRA. In Indiana, we have other LGBTQ issues that our culture is wrestling with. We have a terrible shooting just this past week. And based on the shooting, the people I've talked to tend to have a couple of different takes on that. And some people think that it's a terrible anomaly. The shooting of Walter Scott was a terrible anomaly. And unfortunately, we found the guy that did it. You know, we know what happened, and justice has been served. And for other people, it's like, no, this is not an anomaly. This happens much more often than we think. And this one just happened to be on video. Regardless of your take on that, regardless of your perspective on that, it brings up strong feelings. And the tendency when we have strong feelings is to look at people that disagree with us with frustration or with disdain. We're just simply told not to. In 1 Corinthians 13, here's what he says. Paul says, if I speak in human or angelic tongues, but don't have love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I mean, I remember when our kids were little, they would run around in here, when people weren't in here, or they would run around the instruments when we were in Colonial Hall or something like this, and inevitably they would find a drum set. You know, it's like, man, to kids, it's like, that's like just a magnet. I mean, it just pulls you right in. And you're like, okay, they're playing. And then eventually they would find this thing right here, this cymbal, and they would just start hitting it. And I'm just going to do that. And I just, it would make my skin crawl, you know, because they're just like, you know, they're just like, you know, hitting this. This is what they would do. And it sounds awful. And all you want it to do is stop. But they won't, because they love it. But they are, little kids are the only people on the planet that like that sound. I mean, when Darrell does it, it sounds good. You know, he can make it work, but unless you know how to make it work, if you're not a little kid, you hate that sound. And that's the feeling that Paul was saying. He said, you could be right. Look at what it says. If I can get to it. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and have all knowledge, if I am absolutely right about something, but I don't say it with love, that is how it comes across. And the Jesus that we just celebrated the resurrection of says, I don't want you to be that way. Not because it's harder, not because, you know, it's better to be loving. And there's another. We're just going to keep track. They're all. I bet they're all going down. It's going to. But. And so what we have to be able to do is understand how to do that. That this kind of love doesn't mean that we don't disagree. It doesn't mean that we don't debate. It doesn't even mean that we don't debate vigorously at times. But it means that when we're doing that, we are looking at the person that we are disagreeing with, or the person whose blog we are reading that we are disagreeing with, and we have running through our minds, God loves them as much as he loves me. They are as valuable to him as I am. And I simply can't mistreat them because I disagree. Even if what they're saying is crazy, and people say crazy things. Even if you are right, and in a lot of these things, it's hard to know who is, you don't want that sound. All you want is for that sound to stop. So that's my little thing there. I'm just saying that what we need to be able to do is understand how to love well. And over the next few months, we're really going to need to do that. I think that's something that God has for us. So now let's get into what we're talking about tonight, and we're going to just kind of go through it. So Paul has been talking about, again, how we handle things when we are together. All right, this is the end of chapter 14. It starts in verse 26. And when we're together, he was focusing in on a couple of gifts. All right, he's talking about the gift of tongues and then the gift of prophecy. All right, this is one of those sections where Paul is dealing with, it seems like, a very specific question that he was asked by the Corinthian church. And it seems like in the Corinthian church, they were having a difficult time with people that had the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. And Crystal went into what the difference between those two things is. And when we're talking about tongues, it seems like the type of tongue that he's talking about here, the type of tongue that he's talking about, is the one where when you're speaking, some people call it an angelic language, where you are saying something in a time where the Spirit is kind of on you, and sometimes you know exactly what you're saying, but you're just aware you're not using normal language to say it. Sometimes you're kind of aware of what you're saying, and sometimes you're really not at all. But you sense there's this connection with God, and it just feels like, you know, it increases your intimacy with God, and so you do that. And so he's talking about that kind of tongue, and the prophecy he's talking about is not the "I can tell the future." You know, this is what's going to happen. You know, it's not that. He's talking about prophecy in the sense of the people that just say, this is right and this is wrong. People that feel like this is something the church needs to hear. This is something that we need to do. If you know prophets, if you're around them, there's not a lot of gray in a prophet's world. It's black and white. It is right and wrong. And usually it's stated with great vigor right at you. You know, and that's you know what they're doing. That's part of the gift. So he's talking about them. It seems like this is a section where he's really dealing with. It seemed like it was kind of getting chaotic in there when they would gather together, and everybody was trying to kind of add their part to it, and that's not bad. In fact, he says that's good. But they were just doing it all at once. So people are yelling at each other, and it must have been kind of cool. I'd love to go back and see it and think, how do you think that's good? But, you know, we're probably idiots in some ways, and we don't know either. So here's what it says. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at most three should speak. One at a time. I love this. Paul's got me thinking, do I have to say this? One at a time. The thing you learned in kindergarten still applies. One at a time. And someone must interpret. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church. Let them speak to themselves and to God. So again, he's talking to people that would sense that they would feel this connection with God, and then they would feel like they wanted to share something with the people of God, and it would be something that no one would be able to understand. And so Paul is saying, that's not bad. In fact, it's good that you bring the things, the parts of your gifting together when we meet. That's a good thing. It was just getting a little chaotic in there. When you come together, each of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. That's good. But everything must be done so that the church may be built up. He's not saying that you can't do it. He's saying that your intent can't be, well, I've got this, I'm good at this, I deserve to do this now. You need to do it in a way where the entire church can be built up by it. The way that you do that when it's a tongue is, if anyone speaks, two or at most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church. Let them speak to themselves and to God. So this has happened in NLCF before, where someone has come up to me and they said, I have a tongue. I have sometimes I'll say it's a word from the Lord, and I don't understand exactly what I'm saying, but I feel like it's from God and I'd like to share it. And so then my job or the person who is in that role, what we do then is we would stand up and say, is there anybody that feels like they have an interpretation? Not, you don't wait until it's done, you do it before, which seems kind of backwards. It's like, well, should you hear it first? But the way God seems to order it is that it's something that if they are supposed to share it before the group, then God will put it on somebody's heart. Somebody will have kind of a thought, I've got this thing that I think God wants me to say, but I'm not, you know. So things kind of line up. That's not weird for God. That's a little strange for us if we're not used to seeing that. But it's not weird for God at all. He can talk to us however he would like to at any given time. And so in the couple of cases where it's been in NLCF, there hasn't been someone that has an interpretation. So we just say, you know, thank you, but it seems like that's something between you and God, and then we talk about it afterwards. I've been in other churches where they have. Someone's had an interpretation, and they share it, and there you go. So if you're not used to it, it seems weird. God doesn't seem to think it's weird, and God isn't saying it's a bad idea. He's just saying it needs to be done in a particular way so that the church can be built. You know, in Corinth, when we dealt with it earlier, it seems like a lot of people were talking. And then so if you're new and you come in here and people are, you know, I don't mean this in a pejorative way, but they're babbling. You know, they're saying things and it's like it doesn't make any sense. And it's clear that it's not some sort of, it's like they're not speaking French and you don't speak French. Nobody knows what they're speaking. Then it's hard for someone to come into that and think, yes, here. You know, I mean, it's hard. It's hard for the rest of us that don't understand what's being said to be built up by it. So he's saying it just needs to be done in a particular way. And then he gets to prophets. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. So if someone comes up and they say, I feel like I have a prophetic word, then we should give them a chance to share it. You know, sometimes that comes at the end of the service, and sometimes you can feel like, oh, this might add time. What if they go on for 4 or 5 minutes? That's going to mess with my schedule. You know, I mean, we can tend to think that. And the reality is, our job here is not to make sure that we get out right on time. Now, we don't, you know, we have a, I mean, we know how long the different things take, and everything has a certain allotted time to it, because we do want to kind of honor the, you know, the evening and everything else that's going on. But the goal is not to say, okay, boom, we are done on this particular minute. I've been to churches where it's like there is no particular minute to be done. If it's like 3 hours, like, yeah, buddy, bring it. Maybe 3.5, you know. And then I've spoken in places like that. And I remember I was up there to speak, and I had never been in a church like this, and they'd asked me to. And so I was there, and it was kind of a big church. And so I was getting ready, and I knew I was going to be up after the worship. And they said, does anybody, you know, are there any, they asked, are there any pastors visiting us? And like, there were a few. And they said, well, what we like to do is have every pastor that comes visit us just preach a sermon for us. Off the cuff. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes people that are like me can kind of go on. I mean, I don't, but others can. All right. And you know, and so they would just, I mean, it just went. I remember I was up there an hour and a half. And I wasn't even close up. I was like, I need a sandwich. You know, but so it could be like that. I grew up kind of going to a church where, I mean, it had to be done at 11:50, and there was this line of guys. They were not here in the church. They were there in the very back row, and they would have their watch alarm set to 11:50, and they'd let them go off so the pastor knew, all right, it's time. Wrap it up. You know, it was, you know, that's not the intent either. The intent is that when we gather together, that we would hear from God, either in the worship or something that someone shares with us, or something that is taught through the Word. Any way that God wants to speak, He can. The goal is that we hear from Him. That's what we need, desperately. So, you invite them up. And then when they're there, others should weigh carefully what's said. Just because someone is up here, it doesn't mean they're right. I mean, I'm up here. It doesn't mean I'm right. I could be wrong. You should weigh carefully what is said. And you decide, well, is that a word for me? Is that a word for us? Is it, I don't know what the heck was going on there. And then we'll deal with that later. But weigh carefully what is said. And if revelation comes to someone who's sitting down, the first speaker should stop. Again, kindergarten rules, Corinthian church. It's basic. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. And I love this. If you know, when you're around people that have a prophetic gifting, they have very strong personalities. And when something kind of comes on them, it's about to come on you. You know, I mean, it's like, I'm going to say it. This is how it is. And so Paul has a little word for them. He says, remember, the spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. All right. So keep it down. All right. Just you know, do it in a controlled way. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. And he moves on. And this section that we're dealing with tonight is kind of a summary section of everything he's been dealing with from 11 through 14. And we talked about women and head coverings and women teaching and things like that in chapter 11. So if you have questions about that, just listen to that or write it on your info card. We can talk about it, because he says, women should remain silent in churches. They're not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Now, obviously, we have women speak, we have women teach, and we don't do that, we think, in defiance with the scripture at all. And we don't just disregard the scripture because we don't happen to like what it says when you just read it straight off the page. That's why I would encourage you to go back and listen to the talk where we go into how we look at this. You can always take something that you don't like and say, well, it just was for them then, and that's just, it doesn't apply to me. And that's really just a way of saying, I'll apply what I want and what I don't. I believe we are applying Paul's heart in this, even though we fully believe that women can teach, women can speak. So if that's confusing, you don't get how that works, either, you know, listen to the talk, put it on your info card, we can sit down and have a conversation, and I'll explain at least what we're thinking. You can help me if I'm misunderstanding something. Then he says, or did the word of God originate with you? Or are you the only people it has reached? If any think they are prophets or otherwise gifted by the Spirit, let them acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. Those who ignore this will themselves be ignored. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. And don't forget. That's just a word. That's a tongue right there. Don't forbid speaking in tongues. But everything should be done in a fitting and an orderly way. Again, Paul's goal here is not to just make everything follow this clear flow and we're out by 11:50. It's not his goal. Paul's goal is that when we gather, the thing that would be sensed is the power of God. The presence of the Spirit would be felt. The love of the Father would be felt. The thing that we would notice is how we are living that out in community and how we're living that out beyond the walls of this building. And people that are coming to Christ and people that are being discipled and understanding God's heart more, and they're overcoming difficulty, and they're being helped and blessed in times of great difficulty, and celebrating times of great joy. That is what he wants to be talked about. That is the point of the church. Not, it was crazy, because everything was going on at once, and I really honestly didn't get much of it. And not that, well, we were out by 11:50, so that's a win. He wants you to be in a place where you can hear God. And that might come through a tongue that's been interpreted. It might come through a tongue that, you know, God gives to you. It could be through a prophecy. It could be through something that someone like me says. It could be through worship. It could be through a prayer. It could be through just connecting with the community and somebody says something to you that just gets you. That's how we're supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what he wants us to notice. So he's trying to make sure that's in place. It's interesting. In 1 Corinthians 13, the way it starts, I mean, this whole section, 11, 12, 13, and 14, is really honing in on this gift of prophecy and tongues. And if you look, and I know, a lot of people don't notice this. I didn't notice it for a while. At the start of 1 Corinthians 13, he says, if I speak in human or angelic tongues, he's talking about if I speak in tongues, well, but I don't have love, I'm that sound we made there. I won't do it again because it's just unpleasant. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. He's saying that those two gifts in the Corinthian church needed some work. Those aren't the only two gifts certainly in the Bible. You know, he didn't talk about the gift of miracles. He didn't talk about the gift of healing. He didn't talk about the gift of shepherding. He didn't talk about the gift of hospitality. He didn't talk about the gift of apostleship or evangelism, all these other gifts. That's one of the reasons that we think he's really dealing with something specific in the Corinthian church in this section, because he's honing in on these two. And so just because he's honing in on those two, because they were issues, doesn't mean there's nothing for us to learn. What we need to understand is that God wants to move. He wants to talk. And he wants you to hear. And Paul is trying to move things out of the way that slow that down. But all he does is move some things out of the way. You and I still have to come here ready to hear, ready to listen, ready to let him do whatever he wants to do. So, here's what we can do. If you would take some time and just reflect on how confident you are that when you come together, when the church is gathered, how confident you are that the Spirit sees you and wants to talk to you. So often we just don't honestly think something's going to happen. So we just come because it's Sunday. We do this because we've done this. How confident are you that he will actually speak? If you're not, then the first thing is to say, God, I honestly don't know that you're going to speak, but you know what? I recognize that you seem to feel differently about it. You want to talk to me, so just do it. However you want to do it. Over the next couple of weeks, God, speak to me. Let me hear your voice. Let me see you. and just open up to the ways he could do that. Let's try that and see what he has to say. Deal? All right. So what we're going to do is in a second, we're going to take up the offering. And we're also going to take up the info cards. Please, if you're new, just fill out an info card. Let us know. If you want to be on the listserv, then be on that. If you don't, then there's a little mark. I mean, I think it automatically doesn't have you on it. You have to check it to be on it. I don't remember. I don't know how it is. Friend David McCann. David McCann needs friends so that you can know about the senior thing. Even if you're not a senior or you're graduating, friend him anyway. He's just a delightful guy. You know, it'll only improve, you know, your social media cred to do that. Friend NLCF, we're just wonderful as well. And that's a key way that you'll get a lot of info that kind of comes through. But if you're going to be in the Berg this summer, then just write that somehow. We will crack the code, whatever you say. We'll figure out, okay, that's what they're getting at. And we'll do that. And then we'll have a couple more songs. And then we will eat some more food, drink some more drinks. And then that's what you do with drinks, is you drink them. I shouldn't have stumbled there. That's not complicated. So let's pray. Lord, I guess, God, what I want to do is I want to say that I want you to speak to me however you want to speak to me. I don't want to get caught in a pattern of just expecting that things are going to be one way or you're going to speak to me in a particular way. God, if there's something you want to do in my heart that's totally different from anything you've done, I want to be ready to receive it because I trust you. I believe you. God, I need you to help me see the parts of my heart where I'm unwilling to do that, where I'm unwilling to do it differently, just because it's different. And God, I pray that over us. I pray that over NLCF, Spirit, that you would speak to us and just give us ears to hear. I believe you talk to us way more than we hear. That we would slow down this week and take out the earbuds for a little while and just sit and let you speak. That we would take out this inspired word, this book that is unlike any other book that's ever been on the planet, and we would read it and we would see what you have to say through it. That we would be in community with one another. That if anyone here, God, is not in an engaged group or a Bible study with another ministry, that they would get involved in one. And God, I pray that if there's anyone in here that isn't a follower of you, that they would see it's as simple as saying, Jesus, please come into my heart. Please forgive me. I want to follow you. I will not do it perfectly, but I want to follow you. God, I just pray you'd move, you'd speak. This world would change. Please. Amen.